Welcome to Metacast. I'm Josh Anderson.
And I'm Bob Galen. And it has been, Josh, a long time.
It has.
For Metacasters, we apologize. I'm going to throw Josh under the bus.
Then I'll throw Bob under the bus.
It's his fault. I've tried. I've tried my butt off but to arrange a Metacast. Because I know there's tens of you out there, hundreds of you out there, probably thousands of you out there.
Easily
hanging on a Metacast and looking for guidance. And
Bob let you down.
And you beat me to it. And Josh Anderson let you down.
Oh, just like Bob's phone. All right, so we're back after Bob's phone rang, and we took it out of the room.
It's a quick interruption, but I was on a roll there because Josh interrupted. No, he let us down, Metacasters. But in the spirit of failing forward.
Ooh, nice.
We are not looking backwards at what we haven't done, but we are looking forwards to what we will offer you today. And what is that? And what is that, Josh?
Innovation.
Did that hurt on the way out, Josh?
Almost. Luckily, I practiced it most of the morning.
Okay.
But looking at ways to drive it and increase value within your team, and I'm going to tell a couple stories of things we're doing, things we've tried, things that have failed, some of the pushback we've received from it, and hopefully help your team get that innovation they've been longing for. Because that's really what we all like doing, right? We all like coming up with new, fun, cool ideas and seeing them blossom and grow and turn into product and used by customers and users and friends and family. So that's what we're after.
That sounds, man, you had me there at like friends and family. And
yeah, friends and family.
Innovation, I want to work for you.
Come on down.
I want to work on innovation. I think it's one of the topics in, it's sort of the creativity part. It's the, you made it, I try to resist picking on your every word, even though I'm pretty darn good at that. And you're making it sound so soft and squishy and sort of like we're doing it for the engineers. But today I also want to talk about, like, we're throwing them a bone.
Right.
We're letting them do something that's fun, that's for them. And that's the wrong mindset. Not that you were saying that, but it's like, it's what engineers want to do. But it also has payback from, we need to translate it back to, don't forget that it has payback from a business point of view, right?
Yeah, I really view it as crowdsourcing for new ideas, right? Because there are so many times where...
Man, you are on a roll today. This stuff has been building up in you. Crowdsourcing.
No, it's just I've had this discussion recently at work, so I've built up all this ammo to really... There are more than just one or two good people within your company that have ideas, right? It's always, there's a lot of companies where there's somebody at the top, they have all the ideas, and then the engineers make it happen. Well, that's only going to get you so far. To me, if you really want your company to explode and blow your competitors out of the water, use the talent that you have and tap into that. And I think this is one way of really, again, crowdsourcing the ideas and the next generation of your whatever you're making.
A couple years ago at the Agile conference, I think it was 2000, either 9 or 10, one of the keynoters was this guy, James Siricki, mm-hmm. and he wrote The Wisdom of Crowds. And he talked about, he was talking about just how the best innovations, the best creativity, the best ideas don't come from individuals. Like he drew a lot of correlations to historical situations, like in one of his stories was people guessing the weight of a steer in 1850s England or something like
right.
that. And you had these people, these botanists, so these PhD equivalent Oxford generated botanists, and they were trying, they knew the molecular structure of the sinew of the steer, and they would guess.
Why would a botanist know about
or,
animals?
Or whatever. Naturalists. Shit. A studier of things of natural
it's
origin.
It's a valid question, I'm sure.
Metacasters, I blew that, but
like the phone earlier.
But you will overlook that and get to the spirit of my point. And Siricki was so. Then they would get these common folks, Josh, from a fair, and it was like who could guess the weight, and they would look at the sum total. They would look at the expert, and they would look at the sum total of the average of people. And how close they came. So you have expertise versus the wisdom of the crowd. right? But the crowd was relatively stupid. Arguably, the individuals of the crowd were stupid, but the collective intelligence was always better than the wisdom of the individual. The individual contributor, like the best programmer you have, versus the wisdom of the team. And he was talking about that, and it's without interrupting.
I'll be quiet.
No, it's the same point. It's the same point you're making. I think one of the aspects of Agile, to get the leverage you want, to get to the fun, because it's fun to do that as well,
right?
Because all the pressure's not on you to ideate, it's a team function, and trying to get people to sort of get to the, you know, to what, to the best of all the ideas, to build off of one another.
Gotcha.
I thought that was the best. That was one of the more interesting keynotes we had there.
Yeah.
That was off topic, but on topic, right?
Yeah.
He didn't write it for the Agile community. He wrote it in general.
Right. That's good. Yeah, I mean, that's how we are, just even with estimates, right? The one person that has written all the code isn't going to know as good as a group of five people that have written bits and pieces of that code.
So what have you done recently?
What have we done? Well, we started out with 20% time, you know, use that term loosely. So we termed it 20% time, but in reality it was more like 5% time, where each developer, was specifically in the architecture team, which got us closer to 20%, was that they would get a sprint, so they get a 2 weeks worth of kind of a project that's on their own. The problem is that 2 weeks would get chewed into, and customer issues would come up, and we'd say, well, we're going to take some of your 20% time and they can have it later, and things like that. So we just had scheduling issues and it didn't work very well. So we've moved on, and we're going to try, based on the Atlassian model, of a FedEx day, also known as Innovation Days. I've heard it called a couple other things. And the thing is that it's overnight delivery. So in 24 hours, you have an idea and you deliver something. Now, they have a nice wiki page that details this whole lead up and process and getting people involved and little project teams that latch onto a concept to really dig into it. But essentially, it breaks down to noon on one day, you get started working on some idea, work all night, do a hackathon, bring in pizza, bring in food, bring in beer, bring in whatever it takes. And then at noon the next day, you have a product and you share it. And maybe it makes it to the next release, or maybe it's a tool that will help the rest of your team be more effective and efficient in what they do, or maybe it's just a bug. One of those, I think the term they use is an itch that you want to scratch, right? There's some bug that's been out there that you hate, and you just want to get rid of it, and it never gets prioritized, so that's what you're going to do.
Like a physical bug?
Physical.
That's in your pants or something?
Yeah, that would be bad.
That would be bad.
Yeah, probably doesn't take 24 hours to get
that. Have you started it yet? Have you tried it?
We are launching it and going to do it in January or February. So we're trying to get everything lined up. And we are doing it not just in engineering. That's something that I've seen, is it's been relatively developer-focused. So we're trying to integrate it with the entire R&D team. So our testers, our documentation folks, our product owners, everybody's going to be involved and everybody's going to have an idea. So it's going to start with a pitch session of, this is the idea I have. Who wants to come work with me? I can do it on my own, but if you think this is cool and you want to help, let's start making it happen.
Wow. So we've been doing, I guess I haven't shared, we've been doing almost exactly. So we are an Atlassian customer, and we borrowed that idea. We didn't do 20% time. I forget what we did, but we were doing innovation. So we were creating innovation time. But for the last year and a half, probably, we've been doing various forms of innovation days.
Right.
The one we're doing now is, and we sort of have it down to a recipe, where we have a wiki page where people propose ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And the ideas have to gravitate the teams toward them. So the teams form around the idea.
Right, correct.
Which I think is Atlassian's point as well. And then we try to have a product owner per idea, not so much a scrum master, but we try to get someone to sort of connect it to the business as well,
right?
Whether it's a bug fix or what. And then the teams work on, in our case, Friday. So when we were doing three-week sprints, we took the middle Friday, I think, was innovation days.
Okay.
Now, we don't try to get people to work 24 hours, even though that's the spirit of Atlassian. I mean, we'll provide food. We'll support it.
Yeah.
But we try not to sort of enforce it.
Yeah, same.
So we'll do pizza like that evening. We'll provide food that evening. And we actually bring food in for lunch on Friday. We have pizza that comes in. If anyone wants to have it Friday evening or Saturday morning, they can do that. We don't I look at it as like 8 hours. Mm-hmm. So what we don't do, we cancel all meetings. Mm-hmm. So we don't have anything other than, it's like quiet, actually.
Correct.
It's a quiet environment. People can work from home. They immerse in small teams on that. And we've been doing that for a while and we do a sprint review of it. Okay. Or an Innovation Days review.
Right.
We actually have an hour meeting where people get little time slots to present to the bit, just like a scrum review,
right?
A sprint review. We expose it. Our CEO comes sometimes.
Okay.
So we expose it to product owners, etc. It's been really good for us.
So one of the things we struggled with, as our management team discussed this, was the idea of having it be product focused. And we wanted to say that it should be product focused, but we didn't want to really enforce that because we wanted people to feel free to take it a direction that maybe we never thought of. So have you had that battle where somebody...
loose business. We've tried to... I think it's a balancing act where you don't want to be prescriptive. So we want it to be like not a game. When we frame it...
I think that's where we ended up too.
Please don't implement a Monopoly game in 8 hours as a team, right? So try to keep it loosely connected to our business domain. Keep it loosely connected to our product.
Okay.
But it could be a bug fix.
Right.
But we actually don't want it to be restrictive. Like, we've had tools. People have created tools, like upload and download. We do mailing lists.
Right.
We've gotten some, like, creative upload and download tools that attack real business challenges. So they could have been features. They could have been, you know, customer-selected features, but they weren't high enough priority for us to attack. Mm-hmm. So we've, like enhancement requests.
Right.
So folks have attacked enhancement requests. We've had pure innovation where people have done things that were just novel. We have I remember one of the first things we did, we have a clock that sort of, it's the downtime clock. It's what we call the notification clock if we're having a downtime on the website. And it was always very clunky. And someone sort of spruced that up and made it selective so that it would send, like, depending on what your customer ID was and what your profile was, you'd get different information. So this guy who had never done UI work before was, so not only did he modify the downtime clock, but he looked at it as a learning curve. Like, right. He had never done UI work, front-end work before, and he did a nice job. And the other weird thing for us is you can actually bridge innovation days with work. So we want it to be done, but we actually have people who have worked on something. A guy was working on, he was working on a way to make our application feature set configurable. And easy, like an API or a framework to make features relatively like turn on and turn offable and much more seamless.
Like a set of feature flags.
Yeah, a set of feature flags. It took him 3 innovation days. I think he worked on it for 3 innovation days. He demonstrated his results each time.
Right, but I could see that.
But he just finished it.
Okay.
And then I saw the email where he quote-unquote deployed it to the team, right?
Right.
And he didn't even force it. He's like, if anyone wants to use this, here's what I built. You guys have seen it in the demos. I really wish you would try to use it,
right.
But he didn't force it.
So what do you think is the success? I guess it's hard to, I shouldn't even try to quantify that.
I was going to say, we've measured it.
Have you? Okay, because I wonder if that, your definition of success and how you might steer.
60%, probably last time we checked, I think it was 64%. I'm being very precise, Josh. You're like impressed, I can tell.
I am.
64% of our Innovation Day projects have made it into real use in the product.
Okay.
They've turned out, if they were a feature idea, they've actually made it into production.
Okay.
If they were a tool, they're being used. So sometimes tooling, virtual CI, continuous integration stuff, if it's a tool, so we have a 2 out of 3 hit rate for stuff that makes it into production use. And then,
okay.
It's almost it's weird for us. It's been like a no-brainer.
Right.
Our CEO at one point, and we've missed the boat on this, Ryan Alice is our CEO, and he saw so much value in innovation days. He's an exaggerator. So he was like, why don't you do 2 days a sprint or 3 days? He said, I'll give you up to 4 or 5 days per sprint. And we never took him up on it. And we have this hanging opportunity to do more innovation days because people see value in it. but we haven't. It's almost hard to get the engineers to the teams to get the traction to do it,
right?
To sell it, it's weird. It's
like, well, and it's tough because you have to fight that balance of, you know, can you force ideas more often?
Well, it's the responsibility. So there's a responsibility aspect of folks know that they're skipping the work, right? There's this almost like, I know, you know, there's the idea, there's the ideation part. And then there's the, I know I have a backlog that saws in Montana.
Right.
And I know that if I skip the backlog, that doesn't mean it's not relevant. The customers are still waiting for that stuff. So I think the teams are almost getting into the point where you have to convince them that working on innovation days more frequently would be in the customer's best interest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. So you do it every 3 weeks.
We were doing it. Now that we're moving to Kanban, we're talking about how to... There's open discussion about what we do about innovation days. When we were in the structure of Scrum, it was easy to say to pick. So there's better times to do innovation days, right, than not in a time, yeah, box, right?
Yeah, that's why we're trying to schedule it every X number of months, so that way we can't get away from it. Whatever's happening when that day comes, it's FedEx day, and let's do it.
We wanted to do it on tempo. I'm a little worried in Kanban about that we'll lose our innovation. And there's already discussion about us going to a 20% thing again, which I think we'll miss.
Yeah.
I think we'll come full circle to missing the value of it again, and I worry about that. But I think having it in your sprint tempo,
mm-hmm,
so if you're on a 3-week sprint, picking an I day, or would we've got great traction with that.
Okay. Yeah, we're more in the Kanban model now, so that's why we've gone to trying to plan it out. Of every, you know, 2 months we're going to do this.
Well, I think you may have heard me tell this story. We had it creates weird problems, and it creates weird thinking. Like, one of the stories that I may have told on the Metacast was, or I'm writing about it, but I don't know if I'm going to publish this on a blog post. It's sort of contentious. But we were having a meeting with our VP of products, and there was one of the product owners was complaining about a 40-point story.
Mm-hmm.
And they were that the team had estimated a user story at 40 points, and he just didn't feel it was 40 points. He felt they were, you know, they were just, I don't know, lying or sandbagging or something, or they were afraid, they had FUD, but he didn't. He complained to his boss. She actually asked the architect to second guess the team. So they looked at the story. The architect said they're sandbagging, which creates this distrustful... There was this weird distrustful,
yeah,
path going on there. But thank goodness no one actually cut the story down under the team. But then the team took that story and they implemented it, part of it in innovation days. Because this discussion had influenced them, right? Mm-hmm. That it was important. And in 8 hours, literally in an 8-hour, you know, uninterrupted day... They implemented like 75% of the story. Mm-hmm. I think like 4 or 5 of them or something like that worked on the story. So it turned out whatever that point is. So it wasn't 40 points. It was 3 points or, you know, 1 point or 3 points or something like that. And then they finished it. But instead of being thankful about that, the leadership was looking at it as like, yeah, damn that team. They're sandbagging, right? Now that was confirmation. And this was the same team. So they were trying to have good behavior, and it turns out that they didn't know. I mean, they were guessing at the story. It was so ambiguous,
mm-hmm,
that they went what? They went high because they didn't know. But here was an innovation day, so think about what you can do, get done in 8 hours.
Well, and yeah, I think that's, and even that message should go home outside of innovation day or FedEx day, of get out of the way of your team.
Get out of the way of your team. And there's this revelation that I've got, and we haven't. Is like activating your team. Innovation Days for us has sort of shown the light on me as a coach as to what the true... If you get the stuff out of the way, like meetings, the waste, if you truly get the waste out of the way, now I don't know if you can do that all the time,
mm-hmm,
but if you can like immerse the team for out of a given week, like two, if you had two uninterrupted 8-hour days per week, I don't know what we would get done,
mm-hmm,
right? It's not just creativity, it's productivity.
Right.
Right? It's innovation and productivity and just completely getting things done. I think that's what, like, Sutherland, you ever hear that they talk about the, what is it, the ultra-productive scrum teams, or the highly...
Hyper-productive
scrum teams. I think Innovation Days taps onto that.
Right.
To some degree, and it depends on your culture.
So has that caused any backlash within the teams of why can't we work like this all the time?
You know, it hasn't. It's the weirdest thing. It has not. Hmm. You would think that...
Because that's what I'm worried about, right?
You think the teams would be clamoring... See, I wanted to leverage... When Ryan said 3, 4, 5 days, I wanted... To me, as a coach, as a stakeholder, I wanted to leverage that. I mean, you would be doing the same thing. You'd be like, crap, it's an open door. We never walked in. And it wasn't just leadership not walking in. The teams... We actually said that to the teams. That Ryan, and you would think teams would be bouncing off the walls saying, oh, we need to at least do another day. So I would have thought they would have grappled easily for a second day. So functional management was afraid of it, and the teams didn't go
there. Is it fear of failing?
I don't know what it is. Huh. I don't know what it is. Or hyper-productivity? Or maybe the misuse of that? I think part of it is that misuse of power, like the 40-point story.
Right.
I think that may be part of it. Hmm. Maybe a fear that you can't be, creative all the time? I don't know. Yeah. Or that the creative burden falls to one person.
Right.
Or something. But no. It's one of the opportunities that we had that I think we blew. And not just, I'm not blaming me, it's the teams could have gone there too.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's a bit of my concern. And it's not, it's a good concern. It'll be a good problem to have, of the team beating them down the door and saying, look how productive we are when everything's out of our way.
Well, how often are you going to do it? I mean, you're sounding like it. If it's once every 2 months, that's only like, you know, I'm going to exaggerate. That's like, you know, 0.1% percent of your time.
That's what we're starting at, right? So we're going to throw that out there, see what happens, and maybe we need to do it more often. Maybe we have such a backlog of things we want to do after the first one. So we don't know. We're starting it.
But why not start monthly?
Maybe we'll end up there. I mean, we haven't scheduled it. We're tossing around what the right
frequency is. That's a leadership thing, from my point of view. If you ask the teams, that burden would fall to you to try to set the initial tempo.
Yeah, that's why I'm
maybe go.
That's
high.
Why I'm asking you.
So maybe go high. I'd go high. I'd go like at least monthly.
Yeah,
like a day. If it is truly the day, which I think it does bound that right. It's a day.
Yes.
So then maybe try it monthly. Try it on your sprint tempo.
Right.
We were doing it on 2 weeks. We were doing it as frequently as 2 weeks.
Okay.
We have all kinds of wiki data that that if you're interested, I don't know if it would help you. I don't know if it you're already convinced.
It could hurt, yeah.
But you already seem to be convinced about it. But we have like retrospective data and wiki data based on the projects. And
we are convinced. We're just trying to figure out the right implementation of it.
I'm surprised our product owners haven't. It's a weird anomaly, and it's just sort of smacked me in the face today that we've had something that's probably hyper-productive and really creative, but why the heck haven't we, at a product owner level and at a team level and at a leadership level, why haven't we bridged, why haven't we connected the dots and said we ought to operate this way?
Yeah, and that's what I'm hoping and fearful of that happens. Like, both of those all at the same time, that the teams, like, get out of my way, look what happens when we can do this, which is a good thing and a challenging thing, because
I think that's one of our fears as well, is you're letting go of, even in Agile, there's this notion of control, right? Mm-hmm. You control the outcome via the backlog. The product owner has control based on business priority.
Right.
I think there's this overriding fear, probably in the team as well, of, you know, now they gave me the steering wheel. Crap, yeah. I've got the steering wheel, right? I think that's probably one of the underlying things.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes and how the team latches on to it and our productivity. So I was that 60%, 64%, I think.
64%.
That seems pretty good.
Well, one of our functional managers, Brian, has done a really good job of being sort of the cruise director of it. So he'll send a reminder. He'll set up a wiki page. He'll send out a reminder to folks that Innovation Days is coming up. So, you know, get your ideas in there. We don't force people to have ideas. But we really strongly encourage it.
Right.
And we get about 85, maybe 90% participation.
Yeah. On the Atlassian website, they are launching a whole thing for their FedEx days. They're pushing this pretty hard right now. They're saying that they have 550 DevEx Day projects and 47 have been shipped. So now it doesn't mention about the tools and things like that behind the scenes, but that's, I think your 60% is pretty darn good.
It's weird for us. But again, we expose. So part of, I think, our getting the attention is we put it out there. It's just like the sprint review. Mm-hmm. So the product owner may not be interested in it, but if like our CEO gets excited or jacked up, or if a customer, we do a customer support tool to our customer support dashboard. Mm-hmm. If they get jacked up about it, the product owner may not be, but they lose control over that, right? It's like, you know, guys, this is like 60-70% done. We need that. Do it now.
Yeah.
So I think part of it is the cross-functional exposure.
So how does that, so you have your 3-week sprints, does that work then feed directly into the next sprint?
They decide. So it's really a product, when I say 60, that's the product owner then under either they think it's a priority or they're getting strong-armed into it's a priority. It goes into the backlog for completion.
Okay.
So there's a separation between innovation day work.
Yeah, because the other challenge and the backlog that I foresee is we have longer than I would like release cycles of this happening mid release cycle. Somebody gets all excited about it and all of a sudden apple cart's turned over and changed direction. And the,
see, now that's a good reason. That's a good concern for you. And you're, now that you remind me that your release tempo is different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So derailment in your environment would be a real concern, right?
Yeah. So that's, you know, it would be a good thing and a bad thing, and maybe it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, but you have to think about the business implications.
Yeah.
From a pure, you're building content.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so that's one of the challenges that we'll run up against.
From a CI perspective, you're going to have to figure out branching. You're going to have to figure out isolation strategies or something. Yeah. We have a very fast turnaround. I mean, if things are stewing, if they're good at, so if they're good ideas that go away, then they just go away. If they're good ideas that are cooking, they typically cook pretty quickly.
Right.
So they don't hang around for like 2 quarters or 3 quarters or something. Unless like that one example I gave you where the work bridges multiple innovation days just because the work does, then it would cascade.
Yeah, I mean, we have one product with a much faster release cycle because it is software as a service based, but then we have another on-premise app, you know, our big monster that you were a part of.
Yeah.
That has a much larger release cycle for a myriad of reasons.
Yeah.
That could be a problem.
We're doing something now. We just started it when? Today. We're doing Kanban for this thing, but over the holidays. So we just had a major social media release a couple weeks ago, about a week and a half ago, which is a cumulative major release for us. And we pushed it into production. And then for us, over the holidays, we don't want to like push anything but major bug fixes out. So we don't want it to be disruptive over the holidays because it's a peak time for us. That we propose doing what we're calling a continuous deployment sprint, but which is really like an investment. So call it a refactoring sprint, which is an investment in CI, CD tools, tooling, virtualization tooling. It's also an investment in automation to spruce up our automation, our unit test.
Right.
To sort of improve our unit test, the consistency of our unit tests and our code base. So we're doing a lot of automation and continuous deployment cleanup work and new work to improve things for like the next 6 weeks. The reason for Kanban is we didn't want to plan it out. We wanted to just throw big, if you will, big honking stories in there and have the teams on the fly sort of figure out, you know, I want to improve the you know, the unit tests across every file, so figure out how to do that from a team perspective. It's all, but that's something for us as well. It's part of that's innovation, part of that's investment. We're getting a lot of that's actually causing us a lot of angst. The product owners, they feel like because we have technical product owners driving that, because there's not a lot of feature development in it, they feel disconnected. They've got a lot of angst.
Okay.
You hear them talking about, you know, we're freezing everything. They're using terms like we're doing nothing for the next 6 weeks or something, right? So that's actually something that's really interesting for us, that kind of an investment. So maybe it's 20% time or you know, investment time, not so much creative, but investment.
So, as our last topic to wrap this up, let's talk about what you just talked about, was the pushback you get, the common, so we're not going to do anything, there's no productivity, there's, what do I get out of this?
Right.
You know, that's always the first thing that comes back from this discussion when you lay it out on the table of, this is something we should do. So I think your 64% is a no-brainer, right? If you slap that on the table, no one can really argue with that. Hence your CEO 20.
Well, they would. I mean, they would if we said 4 days of sprint. Yeah. They would. They would push back. Even at that rate, I guarantee you if we went to... In fact, not a guarantee, they would have pushback. So we have that level of... We have that level of success, but at the same time, if you start, if people perceive it that you're what? You're not investing in the business, in what they want to do, mm-hmm. we get pushback.
Right.
And then the six-week thing is you get, we've got phenomenal pushback.
So do you think that's, this could be a generalization, do you think that pushback comes back from people that believe that they're the only ones with the ideas?
I don't think they understand the balancing act. I don't know if it's something like my ideas trump your ideas. I don't think it's as sort of immature as that. I think it's they want to control the work. Our product owners look at their job as being what sort of a control control freak kind of thing, and they're incredibly uncomfortable if they're not driving.
Right.
I don't know if that's true of your product owner, and maybe we've set ours up with the wrong role and responsibility. I sometimes think that.
Well, the concept of the single wringable neck tends to drive that.
Right. Well, and also they're listening. They're on the hook. The other, well, one, another part of the dynamic is they can never get everything done.
Correct.
So they are, so they are looked at it from a business point of view of disappointing them all the time. Mm-hmm. So they're on the hook to what? To try to maximize what gets done. So they're this funnel of account management talks to them, the CEO talks to them, customers talk to them, bugs come in, quality comes in, and they're disappointing everyone. So mm-hmm. they're under a lot of pressure. So they want, I think they react to that with, I want control.
Right.
Right. And they feel like anything that takes that away from them is just a waste or whatever. I think it's a control.
So how do we tackle that for those of us out there that haven't started that, and that's the first thing.
What do you think? Get. I don't know. I would shoot them.
You could try
or rehire.
I don't think that would work.
It's this weird thing. I'll bring it back to football.
Uh-oh. I should be able to answer this.
No, but it's like, how do you build a team? How do you build a team that is sustainable mm-hmm. over the long haul? You know, I think you need to invest what at different levels.
Right.
You can, I mean, you know, it's at Cincinnati. I think you're investing in the people today. You know, the seniors and the juniors. You're also setting them up to what to mentor people who are, you know, the freshmen and the sophomores. I think you get out there and recruit. I think you have to worry about your long term. I mean, I won't pick on Penn State, but you worry about your long term character.
Correct.
Right. You worry about if people come here, do I have the facilities for them? Do I think you take a broad brush spectrum. And I think you could, you know, I know, maybe not football examples, but basketball examples where people have come into a program and they've shot everything for the first few years to try to get a championship. Mm-hmm. So they're thinking short term. And then they never achieve. They actually, what's a famous example in Texas? What was it?
SMU?
SMU is a famous example of someone who was, they were on the top of their game for a while, but they invested poorly.
Yeah.
They didn't have they had a short-term view, and they lost their character and their sense of self, and then they what? And they've never returned, I don't think, to those glory years. And sanctions were part of it, but they've never returned to those years. And I think in terms of product owners have to look at their product. I think they're too short-term driven.
Yeah. Well, but it is hard because they are disappointing everybody all at the same time.
But that's what I said. But it's no excuse.
I agree
it's
with you.
It's no, you have to invest in a product, but they don't care about that.
Right.
And I'm not generalizing. We have product owners at iContact that I think get that proposition better. They understand that investment, that long-term, mid-term, short-term investment, and are willing to make those trade-offs and are willing to defend those trade-offs much more aggressively than others are. But again, it's under the banner of tremendous pressure. Mm-hmm. You're picking who you're disappointing, right?
Yep.
Well, agreed. Do you?
No, I
play off of that.
I agree. I mean, as I've said many times before, I think product owner is the hardest job in an agile world because of that, because you have to make those decisions. So one of the things that I think we're looking to help with that issue as product owners view this as lost productivity for their goals is to get them invested and allow them to pitch ideas or to latch on to an idea. So that's why we're going with the whole R&D team approach as opposed to just devs. Of let's get everybody involved, let's drive it throughout the entire team. So we're trying to incorporate maybe some enthusiasm that they might have about something that never gets worked on.
Yeah.
And they can rally a group to work on one of their ideas and maybe get a big win out of that. So that's how we're trying to tackle it.
We've tackled it that way. Again, it comes, and I'm not trying to, we've done that, but even that I've seen that it's a shared, so there's shared ideas versus your idea.
Mm-hmm.
There's shared work versus what you're driving. And I think there's this phenomenon where the product owners sort of jump on the bandwagon for these features, but they view it differently. It's mm-hmm. not theirs. You know what I'm saying? It's a shared thing. So I'm sure in their minds, in their subconscious, they don't get the same credit. And they feel like they're under, you know, it's like they didn't get credit. So right now they look at the CEO as measuring everything I produce. Well, you know, they probably, in their mind, don't think that they're getting credit for what the team-based things, mm-hmm. as opposed to the them-produced things. Whereas they are, but the way they perceive their value, like how they're being measured, I suspect, right? You know, it's like, what did you drive?
Yeah.
So are they really thinking team? Do they, in their DNA, do they think, I am a part of this team? Mm-hmm. And not only do I get credit from what the team produces, and the team gets credit for what, right?
Right.
Are we truly in it together? And I don't know if they truly see it that way.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I think that's an important part of these trade-offs with Innovation Days. Did we poop out on the topic, Josh?
I think we did.
Yeah.
We're at our magic 40-minute mark.
Are we at our magic 40-minute mark? So that's great. I'm glad the content was there. I'm going to be really interested. We should have a readout about how you guys do.
We can do that. We can circle back.
I hope. Did I portray the enthusiasm, though? I mean, the thing rocks.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's just like, why can't we do it all the time?
Yeah.
It's amazingly rocks.
Well, and have you asked that? Have you asked the team?
I don't know. I might be afraid of even asking that or what. Yeah. I mean, we have. It's this weird phenomenon. It just rocks. I would encourage you to do, I mean, as a final point, expose it just the way you do. Be transparent
mm-hmm.
with that stuff. Keep metrics and leverage it. I mean, we have leveraged it for improvement. I think that's one. If we didn't do the Innovation Days, I'm sure we wouldn't be doing the 6-week thing.
Right.
No one has said there's a direct correlation, but I guarantee you if we hadn't proven ourselves, like our ability to spend a day and actually sort things out that have value, I can't imagine we would have got permission, if you will, for the other stuff.
Fair enough.
All right. Okay. Metacasters, thank you for listening. Hope you got value. We promise that we will get more frequent again with the new...
We will.
We may be spotty over the holidays, Josh.
We will.
I said, but we always have a New Year's resolution.
We do.
We did it last
year. That's the beauty of a new year.
Yeah, exactly.
Although we have more this year than last year, so we're
trending upwards. So our velocity is nice. Is improving. Wow. So, Metacasters, we want to thank you for listening. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, anything at all from a topic perspective, they can send it to...
They can go to metacast.com, meta-cast. Leave a comment, anything on there. You can reach us on Twitter at meta-cast, all spelled out, because Twitter doesn't like non-alphanumeric characters. Tweet us, comment us, email us. There's links everywhere.
And pass it around. Pass this to your friends. We won't bite them. We try to add value.
We will.
There is no try.
That's right.
We will add, yes, exactly. We will add value. So from beautiful downtown Cary, North Carolina, For Bob Galen.
And Josh Anderson.
Shake.
And bake.
Take care, y'all.